7 of the Cricket Her Weekly. It's also Twixmas, which, Sid, is that period between Christmas and New Year when everyone just lies on the sofa eating cheese and forgets what day it is.
Surely he lies on the sofa eating Twixes, Raph.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I've remembered what day it is. It's New Year's Eve. So we are going to be starting this episode by reviewing the year. But first, here's one of my Christmas presents. It says, it's a mug. Oh, for those who are just listening and can't see, it's a mug and it says, no riffraff. I think, it's from my brother. I think it was intended to be ironic or funny somehow. Sid, what was your favourite Christmas present?
Well, Raph, not only did I manage to double the amount of books I've read this Christmas, but I read an entire book on Christmas Day. This. This is a bit bonkers, but it's a children's book. It's a children's biography of Taylor Swift, with lots of cute pictures of Taylor Swift, you know, being awesome.
Got you that, Sid?
You did. So,
Merry Christmas, everybody.
As I said on Twitter, find yourself someone who buys you a children's book of a biography of Taylor Swift, even when you're as old as I am.
Good. Okay. So, Sid.
Cricket.
2023. What was your favourite moment of 2023?
Well, I've been thinking back about this, Raph, and I think that it's kind of a long moment, but it's the sort of long moment in South Africa where South Africa came out to support their women's team after they got to the final of the 2020 World Cup. And, you know, from being in a situation where, like, 3 weeks previously we'd been in a bar in Paarl, and we'd been trying to watch one of the games on television, and we asked them, there was like 20 screens in this bar, and we said, can you turn one of them onto the cricket? And the guy running the bar was like, no.
They were all on rugby and football.
Yeah, he's like, football and rugby is where we are now. You know, cricket's just for old people. And yet 3 weeks later, you know, and it was a bit of a one-off event, but so was the 2017 World Cup final here. You know, that was a bit of a one-off, and we haven't quite seen crowds like that otherwise. But, you know, it still shows that cricket in South Africa is a sport with the potential to bring people out. And, you know, women's sport in South Africa has the potential to bring people out. So that was just fantastic to see.
Great moment.
What about you?
Well, again, it's not really a single moment. So I'm slightly breaking the rules here. But for me, it was the fact that in 2023, we had 3 tests in a calendar year. And people in men's cricket will go, why? Why does that matter? What's the big deal? It's only 3 tests. But the last time we had 3 women's tests in a calendar year was 2014. When we had a women's Ashes test, England played India, and then South Africa played India. This time it's actually even more significant potentially, because as well as having a women's Ashes test, India has also hosted those 2 back-to-back tests. And we may not like it, and it makes me a bit cross and frustrated, but the attitude of the BCCI to women's test cricket is actually an incredibly important factor in the future of that format, and we need the BCCI to be supportive. And hopefully the fact that India have just hosted and won both of those 2 test matches against England and Australia is a really good sign of things to come. Now, it might be a false dawn. It potentially was a bit of a false dawn in 2014 because it took India nearly an entire decade until they hosted another test. But it's something, and it's exciting, and I love test cricket.
Yeah, it does now feel like we've got kind of 4 countries that are, you know, playing test cricket and have kind of made a commitment to it, albeit not a huge one, because we've got South Africa who played a test here last year. They're also going to be playing a test against Australia in the new year.
Yeah.
So South Africa are playing, India are playing, and obviously England and Australia are playing. So, you know, and all we need to do now is get New Zealand and the West Indies and everyone else on board, and we'll be back driving along.
Yeah. Well, on a related note, actually, in terms of news this week, Nick Hockley, who's the Cricket Australia CEO, actually did an interview with SEN Cricket where he talked about women's test cricket. And here's his quote: "We'll keep advocating for more test cricket as part of multi-format series." And when he was asked about having more than one test in a series, he said, "Maybe that's something in the future. that we can think about, as in having key marquee series going to three tests. So wow, that's in a way he's equivocating, but it's also further than any other administrator has been prepared to go, right?
Yeah, and it's also interesting that he's saying he is explicitly kind of reserving it for marquee series.
Yeah.
If he was just trying to go, well, I'll just say what I think they want to hear, he'll just go, oh, yeah, we should definitely do more tests. But what he's explicitly saying is, yeah, we the multi-test series are a possibility. It's probably only going to happen for the big series. By marquee series, presumably he'll mean the series potentially against India and obviously the Ashes against England. They're the big ones in Australian cricket in the men's game. But you know, if that ends up with three test series, then you know that's a positive thing for the game, and something that a lot of fans of the game want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's not necessarily said anything that we didn't already know, in the sense of we knew he was an advocate of women's test cricket and a strong advocate. And the reason we knew that is because we've had a women's Ashes test this year that was 5 days. Now, Cricket Australia have notoriously been, over the last 10 or 15 years, been very resistant to A, playing test cricket at all. If it wasn't for the ECB pushing, then even the Ashes test might have well have disappeared 10 years ago. And B, actually having a 5-day test. Nick Hockley comes into post, and suddenly, yeah, we've got a 5-day women's Ashes test. As you say, Australia are hosting South Africa in February at the WACA. Exciting things are happening, and having a head of Cricket Australia who's behind it has really been the significant factor in that. There's been a bit of talk this week of kind of going, oh, well, this is Nick Hockley's attitude is the result of player advocacy. I don't think, unfortunately, that it is anything to do with player advocacy, because players have been advocating for more women's test cricket for 10 or 15 years. Look at Susie Bates in New Zealand trying to bang the drum for her to play a test, or for New Zealand to play a test. And that's not making any headway whatsoever with New Zealand cricket, as far as we're aware. You've got to have somebody at the top in a position of influence like Nick Hockley, who actually supports women's test cricket. I wish that players' voices were listened to, but sadly they often aren't. So him being there is the really significant factor. Now, I admit that makes me a little bit nervous, because women's test cricket resting on the shoulders of one man, potentially, or a few people at the top, if you think about whoever it might be at the BCCI who's now pushing the case for women's test cricket, that's not great, because it still feels like it's very precarious and it could shift.
Yeah,
and
one person can potentially take away
exactly.
in the future.
And Nick Hockley's not going to be Cricket Australia CEO forever, but at the moment it's very exciting. When do you think that we might see this, Sid? Because he was a bit vague about that. He said maybe that's something in the future.
Yeah, I mean, one of the issues for the boards remains that obviously the TV contracts were already signed. So, you throw in more tests, in terms of the Women's Ashes, you throw in an extra couple of tests, then you either have to go back to Sky and go, well, hey, Sky, can you give us some more money for this? Or you throw it in for free for Sky, which means, that it costs you a pile of money.
Yeah.
And I think that we do need to be, wary that anything that we add in terms of like a three test Ashes series, does potentially like take stuff away elsewhere, because, potentially it might take the players away from domestic cricket.
Yeah.
It might mean that if there was a three test Ashes series, that the ECB said, well, we don't have time for a September international series. So we have to look at what we're giving and taking away. And ultimately, what I'd really like to see, I would rather see a test included in a series against New Zealand than a three test Ashes series. So if it was one or the other, they said, well, you can have a three test Ashes series or you can have a test against New Zealand, I would definitely go for the test against New Zealand. What do you feel about that?
You're spreading it around, aren't you? I mean, I've long been an advocate of playing two tests as part of the multi-format Women's Ashes, because I think that then takes away some of the issues that you've got at the moment with the players saying, oh, we don't play very many tests and we've just got this one-off opportunity. It takes away some of the noise around, oh, you're rebalancing the red ball be the white ball stuff. But I mean, it's an open question whether the whole point of introducing the multi-format Women's Ashes with points for the white ball stuff was actually to prop up the single women's test, wasn't it?
We got to the point, just to remind people, got to the point where the Women's Ashes was just one test. That was it.
Yes,
it was just the one test.
Yeah, and that was felt to be over very quickly and a little bit meaningless. And so it was Claire Connor, I believe, who actually kind of came up with this idea, 15 years ago. And she said, "Oh, well, let's have a series where the white ball stuff actually counts towards the Ashes." It was very revolutionary at the time.
Would you want to go back to the Ashes being decided by
exactly.
just test, Raph?
What do you think? That's a question, well, isn't it?
What's your answer? I've put you on the spot now. I didn't tell Raph I was going to ask her this.
Well, I think it's definitely something that's up for debate. But I think that, that, as I was saying, there was a lot of uproar at the time because there were a lot of people saying, well, in men's cricket, the Ashes is all about the tests and it's sacred and you can't fiddle with that. But it's worked really well in women's cricket. And it's worked well because it's given meaning to the white ball stuff. It means that all of your three ODIs and all of your three T20s all matter.
Yeah,
much
you can
more
market
than they
them
do
as
in...
the women's Ashes. Yeah. You can market the ODIs, the women's Ashes ODI, yeah. which is a big deal compared to...
Absolutely. And so you don't get these meaningless England v Australia ODIs that you get in the men's game where nobody's really bothered because they just want to watch tests. So I think that... I quite like it. I think it's worked well in terms of having it as multi-format with the points. The other thing is that we're still not in a position where we can probably foresee that other series, let's say England v South Africa, would be anything other than a points-based thing. And actually, if you dispense with the points-based system in the Ashes, you're effectively saying, oh... You're devaluing the concept of it because you're saying, well, we don't want it for the Ashes anymore and that's our marquee series. So you're then potentially less likely to see it adopted in other series. And we've both been quite strong advocates of that.
Yeah, because ideally that's what we'd like to see. Yes. We'd like to see the continuation of South Africa as a multi-point series and, you know, New Zealand as a multi-point series.
It's more attractive for the cricket boards, isn't it? It's an easier sell. So the ECB can say, yeah, we'll take the costs of hosting an England v New Zealand test. We'll have it as part of a multi-format series. So you still get your preparation for the World Cup. You still get your championship matches, which obviously count towards World Cup qualification. We still have that white ball component, but it's an easy way of fitting in a test.
White ball becomes part of the narrative.
Yeah. And so I think that we would need to think very long and hard, actually, even if we are going to have two or three test women's Ashes, about what happens to the point system, which has worked very, very well. And it's something that's kind of cool because it's something we have that men's cricket doesn't have as well.
Yeah, I mean, there has been conversations about adopting it for some of the lesser men's series.
Yeah.
You know, it's not actually happened yet,
no.
But that's also something that could happen in the future, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Anyway, that's men's cricket. I apologise for mentioning men's cricket and the cricket her weekly.
That's okay. We know it exists. I guess the key point about all of this is that we probably don't need to be thinking about this for a couple of Women's Ashes series, at least definitely not for the next one, because that's probably going to be a bit too soon to start thinking about
about the actual schedules of the series coming up in the next couple of years.
Exactly. So it'll be maybe the one after that or the one after that, but these are all questions that will need to be...
It's good that the questions are being raised.
Yeah. In connected news, and partly sort of in the wake of Australia's defeat to India in the test.
Humiliating defeat, Raph.
I wouldn't say humiliating.
Oh, no, that was England's defeat.
Australia's defeat was... Australia put up a much better fight.
They did.
Anyway. But Australia still lost, which isn't something that we say very
humiliatingly
often.
Humiliatingly lost.
You're just determined to try and spin it, aren't you, Sid? There was a report from Daniel Cherney in the Australian press this week saying that Cricket Australia are looking next season at replacing some of the WBBL matches with a domestic Red Bull competition in a bid to ensure the top Aussie women are better prepared for increased test commitments in coming years.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a bit like a sort of insta reaction, doesn't it? It's like, oh God, we've lost one test.
Yeah.
We need to throw out our entire domestic system and recreate it. But on the other hand, you know, domestic Red Bull cricket is something that we talked about a year ago. There was a 2-day domestic Red Bull game scheduled in last year's calendar
in England
between North and the South. And at the time we talked about that, the game didn't actually quite happen in the way it was supposed to because rain. But, you know, we talked at the time about potentially these multi-day Red Bull games giving England an edge in the Ashes. Yeah. Australia are now going, well, we think that we could do, you know, something much more complete. I'm not sure that the WBBL is where I'd want to start in terms of like hacking away other bits of the calendar. I mean, I think that's a big negative for me. You know, but on the other hand, you know, where else do you start? Do you say, because clearly, I mean, obviously, again, there are cost factors involved, right? There are some costs involved in hosting these games. And so Cricket Australia are probably going, well, we've got a limited budget. You know, what do we get rid of? Well, there are already voices saying we need to trim down WBBL. We need to make it shorter because some of the international players want more of a rest.
I think that's what this is really about.
Of course, if what the international players want is a rest, then they don't want to go, well, actually, you're not resting. We've trimmed down WBBL.
Here's five 3-day Red Bull games for you to play in instead. Yeah, I think, Sid, that the trimming down of the WBBL is what this is actually really about, potentially, because this is something...
I think someone spotted a lever.
Well, it's a strategic way for Cricket Australia to justify paring down WBBL a bit. And we've talked before on the Cricket Her Weekly about the fact that now that WPL, Women's Premier League in India, is so dominant and so well paid for a much shorter length of time, WBBL is going to become increasingly unattractive for overseas players and potentially even for some of the Australian players, because it's a long period of time for less money, right? And actually, cutting down WBBL was already on the agenda before any of this Red Bull domestic competition was being talked about. So if you cut down WBBL, that's bad PR. If you cut down WBBL and replace it with some Red Bull domestic matches that everyone's been calling for years, great. It's really good PR. And people like us go, that's brilliant. You're manoeuvring yourself into a situation where you're going to be better in the Ashes and in other women's test matches. You're getting ahead of the game. So I potentially think that there's more elements than just Australia lost a test to India at play here.
Okay. Well, if they were to do it, now, how do we think they might do it? Because I've got a sort of idea of how they could do it, for example.
Tell us, Sid.
What they've done this year, for this season, is they've increased the number of WNCL matches.
So the 50
over competition. Yeah. Too many WLs. Anyway, they've increased the number of 50 over matches, but it's now a slightly asymmetric competition because you haven't got an equal number of matches against every other team. So you're playing every team once and you're playing some teams more than once. Mm-hmm. How about you go, okay, we'll put the WNCL back to just everyone playing everyone else once, but when we fly, you know, ACT over to Perth for their match, they'll play a one-day game as part of WNCL, and at the same time, you know, they'll have a day's rest and then they'll play a two-day Red Bull game. Mm-hmm. And then we can create a Red Bull competition. It can be a two-day competition, you know, perhaps only one innings each, perhaps with some regulations that say you're only allowed to bat through the first day. If you're the team that bats first, you have to declare by the end of the first day in order to ensure that both teams get that opportunity. And that strikes me as being kind of economically viable, because, of course, the big problem in Australia, as all our Australian friends will know, but it's kind of passes us by here, is that it is expensive to kind of fly teams around the country. I mean, flights superficially look too cheap. When you're flying a staff of, you know, and a team of 20 people from, you know, one state to another and then back and then here and then there, all those things really build up. And it's also, those flights are quite tough because they're not short flights from Perth to Sydney or from, you know...
No, I think that's 5 hours.
Yeah. So I think that's how they could do it. They could do it with two-day single innings Red Bull games paired with, played at the same time in a sort of window with your WNCL 50-over game. And that's how they could make it viable from an economic perspective.
Okay.
So Cricket Australia, go for it. All I ask in return is that you call it the Cricket Her Red Bull competition.
Doesn't that mean that we'd be the sponsor and we'd have to send them some money?
We don't have any money, Raf.
Okay.
We'll send them everything we've got. They can have our entire profits from cricket.
Now,
they've got to pay us money.
From an English perspective, thanks for giving that away, Sid. From an English perspective, I actually tweeted this week saying because there was a lot of complaints from people on Twitter who are unhappy about the prospect of a Red Bull domestic competition cutting into an existing competition, right? The men can have it all, so why can't we? Sympathetic to that perspective, obviously. But I tweeted saying if the ECB announced that they were cutting back either the Rachel Hayhoe-Flint or the Lotte Cup, or the 100, it won't be the 100, but let's just say it was, in order to play a Red Bull domestic competition, I would absolutely bite their hand off, okay? Because it's something that we don't have, we've been calling for years, and it will be brilliant to introduce. So that's my perspective on it. I think that it is a bit of a balancing act. I hesitate to say we shouldn't have everything that the men should have. But it does feel like we are at a little bit of a pushing point here in terms of the women's schedule. We've already got a couple of things that happened last season that we were a little bit uncomfortable about, but seemed to be becoming the norm. So a few players sitting out the Sri Lanka series because they were tired. So they didn't play in that September series, some England players. We also had a situation whereby the England players played almost no domestic cricket. I think they missed pretty much the entire of the Charlotte Edwards Cup, which was the 20-over competition, because it clashed with internationals. Next season, that's going to be even more the case, because the internationals are starting in May, because we've got a World Cup that's starting in September, so they can't play any internationals in September. So we're already at a point where the England players aren't playing any domestic cricket, right? You try and throw a Red Bull competition into the mix there, are the England players going to be playing in it? Will they want to play in it? What will they prioritise? Will the ECB lay down the law and say, you must play in this? I've been in a few conversations with people on Twitter kind of saying, well, we want this Red Bull competition, but when are you going to have it? And they just go, oh, well, there's plenty of time because the season's 6 months long. But if you actually look at the constraints that we're operating under and the fact that players are already complaining about being tired and being overworked, it just feels like it's going to be quite difficult if you actually want the England players to play in this Red Bull thing. If you want the regions to play it, brilliant. Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of value in time for them.
That is the future England players.
Absolutely.
So,
but if you're responding to England being humiliated in that test against India, which unlike Australia, they actually were, then you need the England players to be playing in this Red Bull stuff. So you've got to time it quite carefully. And the thing that is being talked about in Australia is actually a kind of proper competition, right? Whereas all we've had in England is this kind of North v South thing. I mean, it's great because it's a step on the path, but if you want an actual meaningful competition that people can follow, then you need probably more than a North v South. You probably need at least a team from each of the regions.
You need to be talking about taking 15, 20 days out of the season.
Yeah, and you want them to actually play each other and have multiple matches and have a final. That's just, it's... I would hesitate to say, well, it's a meaningful competition if it's just a couple of matches chucked into random points in the season.
Wouldn't have some value as well.
No, of course that would. But that has to be seen as a stepping stone only.
Yeah.
And you have to actually do that with a view to going, a bit like the ECB have done with the regional stuff. You have to do that with a view to going, well, we started off with just the Rachel Hayhoe-Flint Trophy, that was the first regional competition. Then we introduced some 20-over fixtures. Now we've expanded both of those competitions, and they've done it step by step. But it felt like there was a kind of an endpoint, right? Mm-hmm. And the endpoint is 8 fully professional women's teams that are playing regular 50-over and 20-over competitions that are both meaningful, both have proper finals, etc., etc. Okay, so we've got there now. We're pretty much there. Not quite with the fully professional teams, but we're almost there. Mm-hmm. We need to do that for Red Bull, and we need to have a clear strategy rather than just going, let's chuck in a Red Bull game. That's how I feel. Gosh, I've done a lot of talking today, Sid.
It's okay.
Right. Okay. Shall we wrap up there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it only remains for us to wish you a very happy new year, and we will see you in 2024.